Well, good evening. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Many of my friends here in Southwest Florida are hunkering down, hoping that a hurricane won't hit them. However, Floridians know how to prepare. I did go to the store and stock up on beer and wine. The shaker is filled with Cosmos. We're ready for the party. So whatever happens, we'll be safe, and thank you for that. Tonight, I just feel like a party tonight. Maybe it's because I have two of the coolest women in the world joining me tonight. They are not co-authors, but they are friends, and they're on book tour together. So my crazy friend Shannon Baker decided to call me up one day and say, I want to come on your show. And I said, good, I want you on my show. And she said, and I'm bringing Jess Lurie with me. And I said, better. Okay, so let's do that. So tonight, Shannon and Jess have been on book tour together. Jess has a new book out called Salem Cipher. I'm going to let her tell you all about it. But just let me give you the first sentence of the description. Salem Wiley is a genius cryptanalyst. How do you say that, Jess? I'm gone.
Cryptanalyst.
Well, of course. There you go. I was trying to be smart. And then Shannon Baker has a new book that's coming out called Strip Bear. Strip Bear by Shannon Baker is a must read, according to Alex Cava, who is, as everybody knows, a New York Times bestselling author. So her first sentence of the description of this book is, and Pam with her elementary school education might be able to get this right, Kate Fox is living the dream. So without further ado, Jess Lurie and Shannon Baker. Hi, ladies. How are you? Welcome to Authors on the Air.
Thank
you so much for
you?
Having us.
You're absolutely welcome. So, say again.
I said I'm waving at Jess. She's up in Chicago. I'm down in Tucson.
Oh, you're waving at Jess. Okay. So
I will wave back at you, Shannon. I think you should have a Jamaican accent for this interview so people can tell us apart. Are you in? Yeah, man.
Come on, man. You can do it. You can do it, man.
Mom.
My sister-in-law's from Jamaica.
That's all I got.
Well, I have to tell you that before we went on, we were discussing cocktails to get through this this interview tonight, and Jess told me that she went big time on this. She went down to the Circle K and bought some champagne. So I'm relieved. Thank God she splurged on the show. Makes me
it was
my
actually,
value
it was
has so appreciated.
7-Eleven. It was a 7-Eleven, and
7-11.
There's a hair in it, but otherwise it's fine.
Oh, isn't that a metaphor for my radio show? Okay, so you two have been on book tour, and Shannon, tell me, where was your first stop, and what was it like?
Okay, well, this is a virtual book tour, so
right.
we haven't been actually together, so it's been a lot of fun. We started writing these blogs clear back in April, and so one of us would start writing it and interview the other one, and the other one would come up with some really interesting responses. So it's been a lot of fun. We culminate on the day of our launch, which is September 6th. Drew Ann, A Day in the Life. So we each got to write one story from both of our point of views, where the two characters got together on a plane.
Mm-hmm. How fun is that? What a great idea, Jess. Have you lost your mind yet?
Well, I mean, that's generous to assume that I started out with the full one, but I would like to start by thanking both of you for agreeing to be naked for this interview in honor of Shannon's book, Stripped Bear, for the first show.
Of course,
you know.
It is not erotica.
Oh, come on, Shannon. You can tell us, really. When we ask about the book, we want the dirty details, okay?
Mm-hmm. You know, my grandma might be watching and listening to this.
Okay, so you guys put your clothes back on, all right? And I'll
Fine.
Move the camera away. Oh, this is radio. Jeez. Okay. So, Jess, did you ever think in a million years you'd be virtually book touring with Shannon Baker?
Well, so Shannon and I met, how long, was it 7 years ago, Shannon?
Probably, close to that.
6 years. So we were both published by Midnight Inc., and it was a few years ago, and we met at a conference, and we hit it off right away. And since then, we get together as much as we can, and when we both found out our books launched the same week, we thought, why not split the work? And so half the work for each of us, twice the fun, and then we came up with the double booked blog tour.
Yeah, and you know, the sum of our parts is greater than it's been more
good,
fun than it's
good
than
together.
Because just to clear up all my weird stuff.
Yeah,
and Shannon really is a best selling author. You'd never know by those lovely eloquent words that she just spoke, but. But they've been drinking, so we'll give them a...
I just read this thing about calling yourself a best-selling author, and I'm really not a best-selling author yet. I want to be, and I never have. Please, people, not buy my book because I'm not a best-selling author, but I never called myself a best-selling author.
I think you're magnificent. I think you're terrific. I've read the book. It's amazing. And so let's not be shy about it. Let's actually, I read your book because through NetGalley because I'm one of their power readers. Shannon, let's talk about Strip Bear because this is a little bit different for you than what you've written previously. The cover is very different. It has a different feel. So let's talk about Stripped Bear.
Okay.
You got to tell us.
So I lived in the Nebraska Sandhills, in the place where this book is written, for 20 years. And I came in as an outsider. And just a little bit about the Nebraska Sandhills, it has a population density of 0.95 people per square mile. So there's hardly anybody out there. But I didn't leave on the best of terms because my husband of 20 years had an affair. And I was... Yeah, I was the third to the last person to know. one of my daughters didn't know, and then his parents, who were in Mexico, didn't, and everyone else did. So, but it took me 10 years before I got my sense of humor about the place back. So it took that long before I felt like I could write about it.
I felt great when I found out mine was having an affair. It was like losing 200 pounds the easy way. You divorced it. I was thrilled. You want him, you can have him. No fight necessary.
It totally ended up that way, but at the time it was a little bit... Well, you had a big humiliation factor going on there, too.
Okay, so tell us about the book.
So, Kate is not an outsider. She's an insider. And so, but like me, her husband has an affair and throws her for a loop. So at the beginning, she does think she's living the dream, and then everything just gets ripped away from her, thus the title Strip Bear. And so she gets to put it all back together again. Her husband, even though he's a, you know, lying four-flusher, gets accused of the murder, and she has to figure out who actually did it and get him off, which is rankles her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Did you have fun writing this book, Shannon?
I had a blast writing this book. And, you know, I have to thank Jess for this book because she came to Colorado and we were driving up to Chautauqua. We were going to go hiking up at Chautauqua and outside of Boulder. And I was telling her about this book and that I thought I might want to write it. I kind of don't. You know, I don't know. And she just started to laugh, and she said, "You have to write this book. This is the book you have to write." And so I did.
Yeah, Shannon, thank you for – I mean, yeah, it's a brilliant book, and I think you're one of the most underrated writers I know because your series with Midnight Inc. is phenomenal, and it did not get the sales it deserved. And so – I love your publication story for Stripped Bear. Do you want to tell people who don't know what that is?
Well,
Jesus. Yeah, you get to say whatever you want now.
So I was at Left Coast Crime in Monterey, and the second Nora Abbott book had just come out, and it was the week of the launch, and it didn't even get above 1 millionth on Amazon. I mean, it was just tanking. And I was walking along the beach with a group of people, which Jess was there, and I was talking to Katrina McPherson about what a loser I was, you know, and I'm going to quit writing. But I had written this book, started writing this book. And she just, in her little Scottish way, said, well, would you like me to read the book for you? Read your first three chapters and your synopsis. And I ignored her because I thought she didn't
you
really
did
mean
not.
It. I did. I just went, oh.
She's one of the kindest, most wonderful human beings in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So the next morning I woke up and decided that maybe she wouldn't have offered if she didn't mean it. And so I went and talked to her and said, did you mean that? And she took it. And she totally redlined the synopsis, which was great, which was wonderful. And then she handed me the pages back and said, these are really good, and I wouldn't change them. I wouldn't touch
mm-hmm.
them. And so it just made
me,
it just gave me my whole life back, just the whole writing life. It's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting to me, for as many interviews as I've done with writers, that no matter where you are in the hierarchy of publication or anything else on anyone's list, that authors still need validation, even by their peers. And I find that fascinating because, to me, I am such a fangirl of anyone who writes. I mentioned to you before the show started that I don't own a television. There was a reason for that, because when that horrible Kardashian people started their reality show, I literally unplugged the television set and threw it out my back door. I thought, if that's what is going to be on TV, I'm never watching it again, and so therefore have never. But I'm not a writer, and there are 17 shows in our network. I'm not a writer. Everybody else is. And so I have to honor you for you know, even if you write one book and never write again, I don't care. To me, that's extraordinary. But, Shannon, I have to tell you that Kirkus, they're just horrible with giving praise for anything, had this to say. Baker's the heroine, a colorful backdrop, and a surprising ending. Now, you know, that sums up all the way for someone who didn't think you were going to do well. When you have Kirkus giving you that type of a review, that's a huge kudo. And I think you deserve it.
That was a champagne day at my house.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it was. And I, you know, I mean, I'm no arbiter of what's the best or what's the worst, but certainly, I have 50 books come to me every week. And I had no problem sitting down reading this in one sitting and enjoying the hell out of it. So I think you've done a fantastic job. Congratulations.
Well,
yeah,
thank
it's a great
you so
book.
Much. That is so nice.
You're so welcome.
But you're
so welcome.
Did you hear what Kirkus had to say about Jess's book?
Well, we're going to get to that, because now I'm going to talk to Jess for a few minutes, because Jess is like a different animal. Jess has all these
well, wait,
really
before you get to Jess, I want to talk about TV, because we don't watch a lot of TV at our house, but I have a really guilty bad TV habit that I. And I know Jeff,
right?
No, it's even worse. Oh. Well, no, I don't think anything. I've never actually watched The Kardashian, but I watch Married at First Sight.
What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Shannon Baker.
Exactly what it says. It's like arranged marriages, and they meet each other at the altar. And then
what channel is this on?
People.
I want to watch this.
I don't know. Say it into my remote.
So I'm
going to
tell you about a reality show that I heard about from NPR. I'm not joking. It's the only radio station I listen to. And I know this is totally off topic, but so what? Because you're the women I can say this to. Never mind everybody who's listening. In England, you know, in Europe, the television shows were a lot racier. They're just regular television. You don't have to go to cable or anything like that. They're very racy shows. So they have this new program where you choose your date by having, I guess, like the woman stands on a stage, and lined up are the male contestants, and all they're showing is their genitalia. And you choose your date based on
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I've heard about this.
So, and then vice versa. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, even though I'd probably laugh, I don't know how much of that you can, you know, one time, all right, it's a novelty. You laugh, you have a good chuckle at it. But I don't know. I'd rather read a book. Is something wrong with me?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Isn't that bizarre, the things that that they do? So, well, listen, I don't know anything about.
I was just leading Jess into Sharknado, and look at the turn you took.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
listen,
a hairy turn.
The guy from Sharknado is actually going to be on one of our other shows.
What's his name? Ian
Deering?
No,
he's the producer. You're asking me a person who doesn't own a television. I've never seen a Sharknado. I only know because people post about it. I've lived here all my life. What can I tell you? This thing's, it's over my head. I don't even pay attention. I don't go in any water deeper than my knees. So just let's talk about Salem Cipher, because the reason I said it's a little bit of a detour for you is because you're very, very well known for writing your Murder by Month series. Okay, so tell me, how did you decide to write this book? It is a little bit different than one we're used to seeing from you.
Yeah, well, and it's a darker thriller, and so my Murder by Month mysteries are humorous, and it was actually, I was at Left Coast Crime about 2 years ago, and I was moderating a panel with Chelsea Kane, sex and writing, and Chelsea Kane was one of the authors on there, and
that
she made a very offhand comment about how she wished there were more female thriller writers, and I'm like, huh. I wonder what it'd be like to write a thriller. And the idea really just germinated from that point, and I followed it as the story developed.
It's very interesting. What is your writing process like? Because you were writing a thriller, did you decide, I'm going to storyboard a little bit, or I'm going to do a little bit of outlining, or I'm going to sit down and see where it goes? I mean, how does this happen for you, Jess?
Yeah, well, so Salem Cipher is the most complex book I've ever written because it comes from four characters' points of view. Salem Wiley is the main character, the cryptanalyst, and she's racing against time to save the first female presidential candidate from assassination. And so she's got to solve all these codes and quickly. And so there's tremendous historical research that I had to do, plus research into cryptography. And then I had to have four different voices going. And so for the first time in my career, I used Scrivener. Shannon, do you use Scrivener at all?
Yeah, I do. I like it.
It is the writer's program for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that I probably only know how to use my brain, 2% of it. But it worked for me. And so it really helped to organize all of the different points of view and all of the timelines going on in that story.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Were you happy when you're writing, or were you kind of like happy when you finished? Was your entry level ratcheted up?
That's a good question.
Yeah. You know, somebody asked Jenna Ivanovich that question once, and she said that she's happiest when she's writing, and I think she's a big liar because I am happiest when I am done with the book.
When you put the end on there, when you do your triple hashtags, yeah.
Absolutely. Then that's when it's the most fulfilling. Although Salem Cipher was a little bit of an exception because it's a thriller, every scene had action in it. So every scene was sort of pulled me into it. And so it was the most fun to write out of any book I've had. But yeah, I'm the happiest when it's done, for sure.
So, you know, your books before, they are mysteries, but they're lighthearted mysteries. So how do you define mystery versus thriller? In your mind, what is the big difference?
Yeah, so in my mind, crime fiction is the big umbrella, and then under crime fiction, you have thrillers, which are just that. With thrillers, you know what the crime is, for me, at the beginning, and it's just a race to find out to catch the person who did it. And so the reader kind of knows who did it already. It's a race to catch them. Whereas most crime fiction, whether it's a cozy or humorous or private investigator or the whole gamut, it's more about finding out who did it.
Okay. Shannon, you know, you're kind of, you understand about doing mysteries and thrillers. So tell me what your take on it. What do you think is the difference between a mystery and a thriller?
You know, it's so funny that you're asking me this, because when I wrote my first book for Midnight Ink, I thought it was a thriller, and I sold it to Terry Bischoff as a thriller, and she said, no, this is a mystery. I thought it was a standalone thriller. I thought, this is great. And she said, no, it's a mystery, and would you like to be a standalone or a series? Which is, you know, like asking me if I wanted the sun to shine. Yeah. So,
right.
So, you know, I didn't really know about series. I didn't really know about mysteries, so I've been playing catch-up. But for me, I always thought that a thriller had big stakes. You know, so you're dealing with something that's, you know, earth-shattering, that's going to, you know, do something huge, where a mystery, maybe not so much. And then, like Jess said, you're dealing with the how done it and why done it, as opposed to the who done it in a thriller.
Well, you know how I always look at it? A mystery is there's a crime and you're looking for the who done it, all right? In a thriller, you already know who done it. You're just waiting to see what the hell happens next. So I kind of liken it like this. A mystery is like riding the world's most scary roller coaster. A thriller is riding the world's most scary roller coaster in the dark.
Ooh,
so,
that's good.
Because, yeah. So thank you. And it's truly one of my favorite genres. Not always. I mean, I read cross genre and all that. But I love a tightly woven mystery, so that I'm always stunned when I read the end. I don't want to have to figure it out. And if I get halfway through a book and I figured it out, I have to close the book and move on. Isn't that a terrible thing?
You're
a
really scary writer.
Do you go to the last page?
No, I never go to the last page, ever. Never.
So even if you get halfway through?
Nope. I just throw it out. I will tell you this. This has been my experience. I've been doing this for well over 4 years now. I've interviewed over 1,000 authors, from the, you know, traditionally published top of the line there, to debut independently published novelists. And I'm not a snob about either one of them, because some of the best books I've read are by indie authors and are their first books. So every year I find more and more and more terrific books, more books that I just love. And so when we do our end of year show for Book of the Year, I'm always, always so grateful that I have a panel of 50 people who will help me decide.
Wow.
Because it's too difficult. I am so happy when I see women writers who are writing thrillers. They're writing out of the stereotyped genres the way you two are. I think it's amazing, and I love it. And I do know a lot of women who write thrillers, but I want there to be more, and I want them to be great. You know what I'm saying?
You are a really scary reader for me, because you have read so extensively that you know all the tricks, and you're impossible.
No, it's not true, though, because here's the thing. Look, I read about 400 books a year, Shannon.
What?
But the thing is, 400. Yeah, I know, it's sick, isn't it? So here's the thing. I'll tell you the book that turns me on. It's a story I haven't heard before. And if the voice of that author is just screaming all over the page at me, I'm thrilled. I want something that's different, because... And I'll tell you what, the two hardest genres for me to choose Book of the Year in are in romance and in mystery thriller. because I've read a lot of the same plots. You know, I've read about the terrorist that's coming over in the CIA or the FBI or the NSA or whoever the hell they are. Some black covert ops group has to go ahead and stop the terrorists. I've read all those, and there are some that are very good. I want something very different. Same way in romance, you know, yes, it's always a happily ever after, but I want a different kind of a story. I don't want some wuss woman who has to get saved by the bulky hero. I want something different, and it's really hard to find that. Not that there are not excellent books out there. I mean, there are some excellent books. So it isn't that I know what you're going to say, Shannon, or what you're writing. It's that I recognize really good work when I see it. And I think both of you have spectacular books on your hands right now.
Aw, thank you.
So good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like it when I know an author's work and they stretch themselves and they just reach for more, you know, go darker, go deeper. I want the voice of that author to be there so strong. To me, that's what's most important. I can get to spelling errors and formatting and everything else doesn't bother me in the least bit, but I want a strong voice when I'm when I'm reading, you know. And I'm blessed. I don't say I go to work. I say I go to play. I don't know anybody else who has as much fun as their job as I do. I mean, I get to speak to... You're my celebrities. I get to speak to writers. I'm the fangirl here. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say about you were just talking about voice, and I live in Minneapolis, as does Terry Bischoff, who edited both of us for Midnight Ink. And she told me that, and I completely agree, she said with Stripped Bare that Shannon has found her voice. Like, it's completely... Shannon's voice nailed on every level. The setting, the humor, the plotting, it is all... Because I agree, once you get... If an author can crystallize and condense her voice and put it into a work, that's the stuff I like to read.
It's
really
now
true.
I'm all embarrassed and blushing.
Well,
get me more champagne.
Take more of that toothbrush. I mean, that wonderful champagne that just
brought. From 7-Eleven.
From 7-Eleven.
I'm holding out for the Cosmos.
There you go. Well, when you guys come down here and I set you up on book tour, you know, it's Cosmos all the way.
Yes, we have to
today,
do that.
So.
We need to do
yep,
that.
Yes, we should. Yeah, Florida, but
you
it's
really
got to be
should.
The winter.
Well, honey,
yeah,
it's
we
just
could go
hot
the winter.
Or hotter. You got hot or hottest, so choose your poison.
I want hotter. I'm in Minnesota.
I will
people.
Tell you that the best time for you to come down here, seriously, is January and February. Best months. It's absolutely exquisite down here. Okay.
But, you know, we just moved to Tucson. We just finished our second summer in Tucson, and I was kind of disappointed with January here. It was in the 50s and 60s, so I would go to
You know, 60s are freezing cold for Floridians. We're looking, you know, we might have to wear a T-shirt with sleeves versus a sleeveless T-shirt. So that's to tell you what it's like down here. I want to tell you that I was one of our hosts in our network is Magnificent Jacqueline, one of her books, The Deep End of the Ocean, was the first book Oprah Winfrey picked for her book of the, you know, book club.
Right. Yeah, I remember.
She's a host in our network. And so she had on an agent, a literary agent, who said that in his opinion, and he founded this literary agency, Folio Lit. In his opinion, that the most important thing was the author's voice. He did not want to see or hear anything that wasn't so authentic from that author. It was real important. And he said, refine it down. Make it smaller. If you've got 80,000 words, make it 40,000, and then you can build back up again as long as it's in the voice of the author. And so I thought that was really interesting. You know, a lot of – when I have someone write to me and say, would you please read my book? It's 185,000 words, and I'm thinking, that's a freaking dictionary. I'm not reading that.
I've been reading some really good books with a lot of really strong voice. A Man Called Ovi. I just read that not too long ago, and The Fault in Our Stars. And these
yeah.
are
yep.
books with really
you
strong
can't beat
voice.
That one. Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. I will tell you that was it 2 years ago? Or I can't remember. The Thriller Fest book that everyone got was I Am Pilgrim by Terry Shames. And not the one that you know. This is a British guy who is a television producer. He wrote I Am Pilgrim.
Okay.
700
well,
pages.
Terry Shames has a really good voice, too.
Yeah,
she does. As a matter of fact, yeah, she's your friend. I love her dearly. But I will tell you that it's 700 pages. And that flew by. I wanted to go back and read it all over again. The voice was so strong.
Wow.
It was just amazing. Yeah. Now, I talked to Susan Elizabeth Phillips, who's like the queen of romance, just last week. And her new book is so glorious. It's so beautiful. It's so her. It's called First Star I See Tonight. That I read the book before she came on, and then after she finished our interview, which I love, I read it again. That's how good it is. It's a totally new and interesting and wonderful story. It's her voice completely. It's women's fiction
at its finest. It only takes 5 minutes to read that book.
That's right.
It takes me, I will tell you honestly, 400-page book, it usually takes me almost a full day. But if it's somebody who I'm used to reading, like if I have their paperback or if I have their galley, and it's somebody who I'm familiar with, I usually can get in 2 books a day. But I'm also, you know, I do a lot of radio, too. So here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about, why do you think more women aren't writing in dark crime fiction? Shannon?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I can tell you why I don't write in dark crime fiction because I get squeamish.
Why?
I don't know. It's the same reason if we sit down to watch a movie. My husband likes to watch the big thriller with everybody shooting up or the war movies, and I don't want to watch that. I don't like that. You know, one of my dearest friends writes really gritty, I was going to say awful. It's not awful. Megan Beaumont writes
I was going to say, Megan writes really dark. Krista Faust writes some brilliant dark crime fiction.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, Karen Slaughter, I love her stuff. I have to do it in small doses because it's pretty dark.
Well, I have to say, Karen Slaughter's books scare the hell out of me. I will admit that.
Right, me too.
You know, because she's just so descriptive in her books, and I don't need to be thrilled that way. I can be thrilled by an ambiance, a nuance of the villain's voice or something like that, you know, a description of a setting, those things. But there is no doubt that she's brilliant. Have you read anything by Jeffrey Deaver?
I have not.
Oh,
okay, yeah. I'm going to send you both. I'm going to gift you both books from Jeffrey Deaver, because to me, he and Michael Connelly and Robert Crace are the finest thriller novelists. John Lesquois, David Morrell are probably the finest thriller novelist I've ever read, and there's not going to be blood and guts all over the place, but it's the exquisite writing that I love. Jess, why aren't there more women writing in this genre?
I think there are, and Megan Beaumont is a great example. I think there are women writing. I think the question for me is more, why don't we know more of these voices of women writing?
Wonderful.
And
I love that.
Yeah, and Sisters in Crime just came out with a phenomenal report about, and for those people who don't know, Sisters in Crime is one of the mystery organizations founded by Sarah Paretsky and many other phenomenal writers to bring more attention.
She's been on this show.
She is amazing. She's brilliant. To bring more attention to female writers. And I think it's more of an issue of how they're publicized, how they're reviewed, and I think there's some really good stuff out there. It's just not getting the the attention that
it's
I would
not
I
getting
personally
the press
like
and
it.
The attention.
I
agree
so.
With you.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's
Jenny
people like Alex Tano who have
Alex
taken on
Tava,
a more masculine name, or
Carson Black.
Yeah, Jay
Carson. You know, all of those people who to me are so exquisitely good. Linda Fairstein
yeah.
is great. Marsha Clark is great. The list
yeah.
goes on and on and on. There are so many wonderful female writers. And even Sue Grafton, who writes really more mysteries versus thrillers,
yeah.
is still a trailblazer, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely.
She really is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Do you see,
and I think Jess has a point. It's, you know, with reviewers and with getting out there, I think women, and this is changing, it's certainly my daughters are way more assertive than I am. But, you know, people my age, maybe we're a little lagging in the stepping up and saying, hey, pay attention to me. I'm you know, important here as far as getting reviews
yeah.
and things like that.
Well, and
yeah.
especially in nowadays, in the business model nowadays, you have to be able to toot your own horn and quite loudly without being obnoxious. And
that's
and so
the
I
worst.
Recognize that too. And it's a fine
yeah,
that, line, isn't it? It's a fine line.
Yeah. Well, and that's why Shannon, yeah. one of the main reasons Shannon and I did this tour together is neither one of us wants to toot our own horns. It's first of all, that we're in this to write. I mean, that's, we want to write books, and that's the thing, but you can't just
write
books.
You want to
sell
books. Them too, don't you?
Exactly. Otherwise we're just writing diaries.
Right. Oh, otherwise, you're just having fun penning some
mm-hmm.
stuff, and then you might as well put it in the bottom drawer if you have no intention
yeah.
of selling it.
Exactly.
But I don't think that's either of you. I think both of you are serious writers, and you both want to have a great wide audience, so good for you. I want to take just a brief break here for a second to remind everyone that this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, and my two gorgeous guests today, who are exceptional authors, are each giving away a book. And they're naked, too. I got dressed because it was a little chilly in my house. So, but I am sitting on the sofa, and I am having a Cosmo. The number to call in, first call in, you know, you get your choice of a Jess or a Shannon book, and then the second caller gets whatever's left over. And believe me, they're both great, so you have no sloppy seconds there. The number to call is 347-633-9609. Ready? Again, 347-633-9609. While we're waiting for callers, I want to ask you, Shannon, I would imagine that you look back on when you first started writing and now we're looking today to Strip Bear. What have you learned about yourself since you first started writing from that point to where you are right now?
You know, I think I've learned that I have more grit in me than I thought I did, and
yes.
more thankful. And I've also learned that I've never been much of a perfectionist at all. So I've always been kind of it's good enough type of person. Writing, and this is one of the reasons I know that this is what I'm supposed to do, is because I don't balk at going back in again and again and again and
good.
Fixing
good.
And fixing. Not
okay.
like I do housework.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. That's terrific. We've got our first caller. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, caller from 602. Who's this?
Hi, this is Christelle.
Hi, how are you tonight? Who would you like to speak to, Jess or Shannon? Welcome to the show.
Well, they're both friends, and I love them both. They're awesome.
Oh, good. Shannon,
and so are you, Christelle.
I'm good. I am also in Sisters in Crime, and I'd just like to say I'm very much enjoying this interview. It's very interesting you talking about thrillers versus mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a writer, Chriselle? Are you a writer?
I am
also
attempting that.
Well, good.
So what are you
stay
working on,
then.
A thriller
go
or
away.
A mystery?
What would you tell me what you're working on, and how can Jess and Shannon give you help right in the moment?
Well, it's interesting because listening to your descriptions of thriller versus mystery, I thought, maybe I have a thriller and not a mystery.
Hmm.
So that was extremely helpful because you find out who's murdered and how they're murdered right away.
Oh, yeah.
So are the stakes high?
Are they, I'm sorry?
Well, are the stakes
that's
high?
That's wonderful.
I'm not sure if they're high. I mean, you know, it affects just one person, so I don't know. They're high for one person.
Okay.
That is right up the middle of a thriller and a classic mystery, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Because it's not like a political figure.
Well, you know what I found is I found when you're writing and here you're gonna have to pull in your other characters, obviously, and someone's gonna have to have someone who cares about the death of the character, right? So
right.
This is what I've always found when I'm reading a really good thriller, that there are all these mini arcs that go throughout the entire book, and so. At the end of the chapter, though, it's like I get to take a deep breath and then say, okay, breathe deep, relax, let's jump into it again. So that's what I have found as a reader really, really works for me. And I will tell you another piece of advice that someone else said, not only the literary agent was on, but the associate publisher from Penguin, who was a guest on my show, said, you are making a huge mistake if you don't read your own book out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can hear if the dialogue flows, the timbre of the voice, the cadence, the nuance. Does the dialogue sound authentic? Things like that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, definitely.
I was just going through some files the other day. Because I have to do a panel on rejection, and I've got a letter from an agent.
Oh,
pretty amazing. That she had like two paragraphs in there helping me out, which is totally amazing, but it was really snarky. But that's exactly what she said. She said, obviously, just like this, obviously, you have never read this book out loud. If you did, you would have heard all these terrible problems. And so, yeah, read it out loud.
I think that's interesting, though. But can you imagine, Jess, if you're writing in four points of view, you said? You have four POVs?
Yeah.
So imagine, and this is how come I close books so often. Imagine you're writing, and I'm reading a POV of a male character, and the character says something that is so totally different than his description. Whether it's his physical description, whatever it is, his work is. I've read books like that and I go, huh? You know, it's crazy for me, but I guess because I read so much now more than ever and because I've been in the presence of so many wonderful authors that I'm attuned to that. I can understand and it's like nails on a chalkboard, I guess.
It pulls you out of the book. Well, go ahead. Yeah, it pulls you out of the story. No. And you mentioned Michael Connelly before, and he is brilliant at juggling multiple POVs. They're all very true to their own voice. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Oh, he's fabulous. I'm so dependent on
I saw my husband throw
him because Mike is interviewing. I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, I saw my husband throw a book across the room one time. He was reading a thriller, and it was a male character, and he threw the book across the room. I said, what's the matter? He said, this book was written by a woman. And I said, well, how do you know that? And he said, because the guy just walked in the room.
The guy would never say that.
Yeah, he said he was describing his paisley tie in detail. He said, man.
Speaking of writing other genders, have you guys read James Ziskin's books? He writes female characters so elegantly.
Jim is fabulous. And by the way, one of the nicest people who's ever been on this show.
Absolutely.
I love Jim. He's fantastic. Okay. And, you know, Shannon, he's a huge fan of yours. I hope you know that.
I can't wait to read his book. He's got two of them out now. It's the Ellie Stone.
He's got
three.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful. He's one of the nicest guys in the whole world. I hope
you
get a chance to read his
book. He writes such good
book.
Female characters, yeah.
Yeah, he does. So, and you know, you were saying about your husband throwing the book across the room. It's really true. I have a friend who writes mysteries and thrillers, and he decided to write a book because he and his wife listened all the time to audiobooks when they were going to work. They traveled, they had an hour commute time to go to work and an hour home. And so they put the book on in their car, and he turned to his wife and said, "This dialogue is so bad. I could write a better book." And sure enough, he's written 3 better books.
Hmm.
So, you know, dialogue is so important. If it's not authentic to the character, I don't care how it sounds to you. You may think that, for example, I have a friend who's a very popular suspense and thriller author. I love his book, but he writes under a pen name for a female. And every conversation she has with her girlfriends is about men. And I said, "Oh, I hate to tell you, darling, that's so not true. We don't do that. We're so not talking about you." So it's kind of funny, you know. He said, "I know I shouldn't have had you beta read the book." But it's true. You know, you have to really know your character, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So that's so fun. I'm so glad you called. Do you want to hang on and listen into the show? And by the way, do you have both Shannon and Jess's book?
I have Jess's book on the way, so I would love a copy of Shannon's book.
Well, then you've got it. Okay, so you and Shannon are friends. Do you have her Facebook? Do you know where she is on Facebook?
I do.
Then I want you to send her a PM and she's going to go ahead and make sure in your hot little hands you will have Strip Bear. Would that be good?
Awesome.
Thanks
for calling.
And if you go over to Authors on the Air on Facebook, Authors on the Air or my page, which will be under 4, the number 4 Pam Stack, and send me a PM, I'm going to send you a gift card so you can buy another book too. Okay?
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow.
You're very welcome. And I'm so glad you called in. Listen, good luck with your book. And when it's done, get back in touch with me, okay?
Oh, well, that would be lovely. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Have a great evening and keep listening, okay?
All right, I will. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, you're welcome. How sweet. We're taking calls at 347-633-9609. Jess, so you heard, you know, I want to ask you a totally different question than I did with Shannon about, you know, and I want to take this kind of in a different direction. I'm sure that everybody has given you advice along the way, and you may have even asked for a lot of different advice about writing and so on and so forth. But can you winnow down what has stayed in your mind that someone said to you that has really made a difference in how you write?
Yeah, well, there's 2 things. And interestingly, one of them you already mentioned, which is read your work out loud. And have you had Reed Farrell Coleman on the show? He's writing the Robert B. Parker mystery. Yeah.
And so yes, of course. His own books, too. He's wonderful.
Right. Oh, yeah, his Bo Prager books are phenomenal. But so he and I taught for MWA University for about 4 years. And so he would teach the editing class, and every time he'd stand up there and he'd tell people, "Read your work out loud." And I'm like, "Yeah, that sounds like good advice." But I never did it. And then finally, after like the 40th time hearing him, I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to try it." It made a world of difference. It did.
Did it really? Tell me how it impacted your writing style. I want to hear that first. Expand on that a little bit.
Sure. So I know that our eyes are pretty good editors. And so if you're reading something, you can catch a lot of mistakes, a lot of, I don't know, like you can see if there are too many blocks of text or not enough.
Right.
But once your ears start editing, our ears can catch cadence. They catch the music of the language, and without the ears, the book is not as good. And so read it out loud is one of them. The other one, and I still have to remind myself of this one, it's use all your good stuff now. Like I have books of really good lines and really good plot points, and I will still want to hoard those. But I've heard from so many different authors, use your good stuff now and more stuff will come. And it's true. So use everything
right.
that fits
because
that
what are you waiting
right
for?
Now.
What are you
exactly.
waiting for, right? What
absolutely.
Are you waiting for? Here's an yeah. interesting thing about reading your stuff out loud. Because, you know, some people want to read a paper book. Some
mm-hmm.
are very happy with a digital edition. But
mm-hmm.
authors forget that there are those who want to hear the audio edition because we
sure.
all absorb information in different ways. So if your text, your dialogue or your prose, your narrative is off in some way, if it's stilted, if it's not gender specific or if
mm-hmm.
not character especially specific, that ruins it for readers.
Mm-hmm.
It ruins it for me, you know, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you said that. Thank you.
Well, Shannon, you know, I read all my stuff out loud, but I wouldn't have to because I'm such a slow reader. I actually pronounce everything in my head anyway.
It's not
but
the
you know,
same.
Something.
You
here's,
have to
here's,
say it out
okay,
loud.
So, but let's go back and talk about that. So you don't want to read it out loud because you read it in your head. But I will tell you that different parts of your brain fire differently when you're
yeah.
reading versus
and I do read
speaking.
It out loud, but I am a
okay, wait a minute. So here's what you do. Ask best friend, ask daughter, ask significant other, whoever, to read your book to you.
Mm-hmm.
Try it
well,
that way.
That would be so embarrassing.
Yeah, right.
No. If it's
print.
Embarrassing, then there's a problem, right? There's a problem.
Yeah.
So, but do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I think you don't give you're not giving yourself enough credit, first of all, because I think you're a fabulous writer. But,
mm-hmm.
but ask someone to read it to you and listen. Just close your eyes and listen to the story, and then mark down where things are. No, it jars you. It takes you, like Jeff said, out of the story. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I want to talk to you about a few other things too. I don't know about you, but there are some books that are so near and dear to my heart that not only will I read them more than once, I will read them once a year just to remind me about how special they are.
Mm-hmm.
Books by Pat Conroy are like that. The Prince of Tides, to me, substantially changed how I viewed books and reading and literature. Shogun was another one. Shibumi was another one.
I loved Shogun. I've never
I
met any of
I read that
Shogun.
In high school. It was
so
great.
I loved Shogun so much.
1,200 pages to me, so beautifully written, so fabulous that they made a movie with that little shrimp drives me crazy. But we got a television movie with the shrimp because I can't stand him. But anyway, and I will tell you Shibumi. Oh, exquisite, but that's the kind of book I like to read. Prince of Tides, to me, Pat Conroy's dialogue, his prose, it was like honey dripping. It was so beautiful that I had to read that book. Literally, I mean, I read it for college for a class I was taking, but I read it like five more times right in a row because it was so
mm-hmm.
beautiful. And I went back and read it out loud because I loved how the words felt coming off my tongue. What books do you reread?
Yeah, and so I'm going to take this one first, and because I'm sure Shannon, like every writer, has so many books that are like their
yep.
children that they just want to
right.
hang out with them. And so, you know, my list is pretty long, so I'm just going to pick a few of them. Anything by Isabel
okay.
Allende, but specifically
yeah.
Ava Luna. The way that she
yeah.
can turn language, oh, my God. I can just sit in her sentences.
Amazing.
I love
yeah.
her stuff.
When you listen to her speak and talk about
yeah.
her books, she's very good friends with Diane Rehm from NPR, and
okay.
she's always in Miami at Books and Books. So
sure.
I've been blessed to be able to see her. Her
oh, man.
I'm so jealous.
It's this beautiful dessert. And it's this beautiful clouds
mm-hmm.
and rainbows and everything wonderful. It fills your soul. Listening to
it's
talk
cinematic.
About.
Yeah, it's very nourishing.
It truly
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah.
And who else?
I love Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale.
Margaret Atwood.
And Robert Bright. Oh, God.
Yeah, Barbara Kingsolver,
Margaret Atwood,
the Poisonwood
was not too
Bible.
Long ago. Margaret Atwood was also on NPR. People thought she had died, but you know, even when she speaks in interviews, she's so brilliant. Oh,
she's
just
smart, absolutely smart.
Yes. The eloquence of her words, just in a regular conversation, sent me off the deep end.
I love her stuff.
Handmaid's Tale did it for me. That was it. I was hooked after that.
That was the one for me. That was my gateway Atwood book.
That was the first one I read of hers too.
Yeah, Barbara Kingsolver, Poisonwood Bible. I still revisit that one. When it comes to mysteries, you know, I'm not going to say any of my friends because I don't want to be biased, but. I'm going to say a not friend. Janet Ivanovich's One for the Money, I think, is a brilliant mystery novel. It's a beautiful balance of funny and poignant and well plotted. That book really did it for me.
I like her books with my friend Lee Goldberg because I love caper books and I loved One for the Money. I don't love all of them now that we're at 23 or 24.
No,
I do love caper books. So her books now with Lee Goldberg to me are just the best.
I haven't read those, but the One for the Money, I haven't read her stuff for years. One for the Money.
It's so much fun.
That's just a really good book.
Let me change over to Shannon and ask you. Shannon, going back in your faves and you say, I just got a craving to read this again. What are you going to read?
Oh, man, I've been wanting to read Poisonwood Bible again, so I'm really glad that
it's
great.
It's a fabulous book. I read it so many years ago, but it is a fabulous book.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this question because I think I told you that I'm a really terribly slow reader. So for me, it's always been, you know, so many books, so little time. And so I don't really read books over and over. But because I do a workshop on structure, and I studied the Hunger Games, the structure of that, I read that several times. And
she just really put
that together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way
books are brilliant.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to say that, you know, other than J.K. Rowling, those books probably have brought more young adults, teenagers, even younger kids to the library and to books than anything else. And you know, the books are well done. I don't go see films, so I'm not persuaded by that. But I like those books. As a matter of fact, all of those books are in my beach bag for when I go and sit on the Gulf of Mexico and relax and read. Those are my beach reads because they're so much fun.
I think they're so good. And Jess and I were just talking today on Facebook about YA. So many good YA.
I have a recommendation for you, and it's called Dessert First. Dessert First.
And the author is Dean Gloucester.
Dean Gloucester. It is a young adult book that when you think The Fault in Our Stars, you're going to look at this book. This is a young YA book, though. You're going to love it. You are going to adore this book. As a matter of fact, let me gift each of you this book because it's so good. That's how much I believe.
Oprah. You were Florida Oprah.
What's under your chair?
I know. When you come down here in you know, our hot season, not the hottest season, when you come next year, at the beginning of next year, you will laugh because I have a very small apartment. When you walk in, there are books piled from the floor all the way to the ceiling, but times five. And then every surface is covered in books. And I invite people in and I say, you know, take whatever book you want, except for those, because those are the signed books. So you're welcome to books. I love gifting books. I love gifting books. They're wonderful.
Hey.
I know that I have taken up so much. I'm sorry?
I see you read a bunch on NetGalley, too. How do you ever keep up?
I just, it's I need a book. And my friends know that. They know that wherever I am, I've got a book or my Kindle or something with me. I need to be reading. I feel like, you know, as we age, we don't want our brain cells to die. And so my way of not killing off my brain cells because I drink Cosmos is to instead read. Mm. So
I drink 7-Eleven champagne, so you're doing fine.
There you go. But we'll come down here and we'll drink mojitos, baby, on the beach.
Oh, I love mojitos.
I tried to grow some mint for my own mojitos down here, and my husband thought it was a weed and pulled it up.
Thank you so much, husband.
Yay, Dave. That's the best
I cannot tell
I've ever
you.
Found.
You know, we're now past an hour time, and that you have allowed me
what?
To keep you for this long is just amazing. I know we're an hour and a minute, 2 minutes now past the time. We were supposed to stop after 30 or 40 minutes, and you've gifted me with such a wonderful, wonderful show. I can't thank you enough. You guys are the best.
This has been
thank
fantastic.
You.
I can't believe an hour and a minute
fun.
Has passed. Yeah, me too.
I've had so much fun with both of you. So, okay, so the big launch day is September 6th. I'll be under anesthesia and getting a new titanium hip on my left to match the right. So you'll be under anesthesia because you're drinking Cosmos, honey. That's why.
Exactly.
Or champagne. But as soon as I wake up, I'm going to think about you. And I cannot think. Shannon Baker, Jeff Lurie, two of the best writers I know who you're not reading and should be. And thank you so much for being with me, ladies. You guys are great.
Thank you for
having
us.
And you're coming
us.
To Florida.
Thank you.
And you're staying with me in Florida, and we're going to do the whole West Coast, okay? We're going to have a riot.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Let's do
it. It'll be tons of fun.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
have a great
bye-bye.
Book tour, and congratulations. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's our show for tonight. Oh, my gosh. Shannon Baker and Jess Lurie, can you ever imagine what a great show? I've had so much fun. Go and get their book. Thank you so much for being with me, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.